appropriate touching?
Yes,
okay, I was just making sure. I think you've been hanging out with Earl too much, Dylan, that's all.
Emotional touching, emotional touching.
Okay.
That doesn't sound better.
I get pretty emotional when I'm touching, too.
Leave touching to Earl.
Welcome to the Comic Anvil, episode 4. We're back again to talk about comics, because that's what we do. And I am very astute some days, so I like to say the same things repetitively. And today we have Dylan.
Hello.
Wesley.
Hello.
And Yasmin.
Hello.
Hello. All right, I guess we decided to record later today, so we didn't get as many people as we normally have. Which is fine. Had a guy to back us up, but he's sleeping. I'm sure of it. Mind you, he lives in Australia, so.
That's true. Very understandable.
Give him that, right? Yeah. So, anybody got something they really want to talk about? I know Dylan pointed something out that he wanted to talk about earlier, so maybe we'll start with you, Dylan.
Go for it, man.
All right. Yeah, I guess I'll start bringing that up. So, as we all probably know, Ultimate Fallout number 4 came out this week, and we now have the identity of the new Spider-Man, so I just wanted to bring that up, see what everyone thought if they read it.
I haven't read it, but it's been spoiled like mad on the internet, so.
I made a point to read it, actually, when I knew this was going to be covered on the show, so. And I was surprised. I'm not surprised, you know what I mean, but I was willing to read the issue to see what I actually thought about the issue that led up to the point of the reveal of the new Spider-Man, and I actually like this issue. I might actually end up buying the rest of the series now because I kind of dug it.
I got the first three books. They were okay. I didn't like the third book. I'm going to wait for the fourth one. I was like, I should go buy that. But then, why? I know the identity. I mean, who doesn't? It was all over the news.
Yeah, and, I mean, I tried to avoid the internet. Well, I was out of the country, literally, so I was avoiding the internet.
What, were you in Quebec?
No, I was in New York State.
Attaboy.
Yeah, so I wasn't around the internet. Of course, I was watching Conan on TBS, and naturally he brings that up, and that spoiled me, because I didn't get free until the next day.
There you go. Yep. So, I don't know. I know Glenn Beck said something pretty stupid about
it. Oh, it's Glenn Beck.
Yeah, I was like, who is this guy? And apparently he's crazy.
He's a douche.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Not a fan. I'll say
Glenn Beck's a douche.
Yeah. Yeah. So the book itself was good read, though? Like, okay, how many chapters was this one in? Because I know in the last one it was kind of set up in X-Men, Ultimates, and a little bit of Spider-Man, was it?
I'll open it up here, but I believe it was Spider-Man, Tony Stark, and one other person. Just one second.
Sorry.
Spider-Man, Reed Richards, and, Valerie Cooper. There wasn't Tony Stark.
Reed Richards? Really? No, I'm interested. Because he's a bad, bad dude now.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so it's definitely worth reading. Wesley, yeah, you keep jumping in there like you want to say something, and then you apologize, so.
Dylan keeps, I kind of keep in and cutting off Dylan. And
Dylan's used to it. No offense.
No, I was actually surprised, like, I just picked it up because I thought, you know what, this is one of the oddball momentous occasions, and I actually had it, I actually saw the early show appearance of Axel Alonso talking about this about the subject, and it was actually funny. I was actually watching it with my parents, and my parents were like, oh, it got awkward there for a minute, because they were like, what the heck is this? And I was going, it's in the Ultimate Universe. It's like, oh, okay then. It was like, oh man. I'm like, I'm refraining from their comments, because it was just like, awkward. I kind of went, okay, let's see what context is in and how it kind of leads up to it. Because, and when I read it, I went, you know what? I'm probably going to pick up the first issue of this now because I actually kind of liked what I saw of the first pages. So
you'll like the funeral, man. I really like that part.
That was oddly a very good. That was a good scene.
I don't know, man. I'll say this about it. I read the whole series with this young Peter Parker, and I really enjoyed that version of Peter Parker more so than I did the 616 version. If that's the appropriate term. And I was sad when he died, but I'm also not angry at the new pick that they used, and it makes sense that they went the way they did because, I don't know, man, I was a Ben Reilly fan, so I'm pretty sure it'll work in the end, especially if he's a young cat.
Mm-hmm.
And if it appeals to more people, better, right? Better for everybody.
Exactly. If it gets people, at least with this, with the attention that this has gotten, if it gets at least a few new people to the store and gets them curious, then by all means, go for it. Let's see what happens. I mean, this is exciting. So,
Yasmin, thoughts?
No, actually, I don't have any thoughts on this because I haven't read any of the Ultimate stuff at all. Okay. So, I don't know. It's been spoiled to death online, but I haven't really been paying much attention to it.
Right. And you're right, though, it has been spoiled to death.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. All right, so let's move on then. Wesley?
Actually, I'm actually the only one that they... one of the first episodes that I actually did a Secret Six thing, and the final issue of Secret Six came out this week, so I had to make this one of my picks this week because, honestly, this has been one of my favorite series going on, and reading the final issue, oh, God... It's a wonderful final issue. I mean, if you're even a remote Secret Six fan, you're already picking up the issue as it is, but this one throws everything at you but the kitchen sink at this one of those final issues. It's amazing. I
picked up the last one before this, like I get it pulled, and it seemed like, to me, I've read the last 8 issues or so.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like just such a turnaround point for them, like Bane just kind of, we're gonna do this, are you in or are you out? And obviously I haven't read the last issue, so obviously something bad happens.
I don't want to spoil it. It's one of those things that when I saw it, I went, oh my God. When I saw it, I was like, I cannot believe I am reading this, but it's amazing how they did it. I don't want to say anymore because I will spoil this book to death.
And did it give you goose pimples or what?
It blew my mind. I mean, it was one of those things. And the ending alone, oh my God. The ending is, I can't say anymore because I will spoil the hell out of it.
Give me one more oh my God.
Oh my, hang on. Let me see if I can, in honor of one of the wrestling fans on here, I'll go, and I know that's on this, I'll go, oh my God! There you go. ECW Joey Styles, oh my God. I couldn't help myself on that one. But,
I'm a wrestling fan.
No, well, I know Earl's a wrestling fan. That's why I give him that little... And so if you end up listening to this, Earl, I gave you an oh my God. You'll probably get the reference better than anyone else on here.
No, he's going to loop it and play it never mind.
But yeah, I just can't recommend... If you've already been following Secret Six, you're going to love this final issue. And me, I can't say anymore because I want to spoil it to death after we speak. So I can't spoil it to death.
Okay. Well, now I'm stoked for it. I guess I'll be seeing it next week, maybe. Nobody else reads Secret Six besides me and Wesley, huh?
Sadly, no.
No.
Okay.
So. Grab the trades.
There you go. Try the treats. Apparently, the ending's really good.
Ending.
Oh my God is what I heard. I'm not sure though.
You heard another. My God. Yeah, you heard another one.
Okay. Yasmin, hit us with your pick, sister.
Okay, since apparently I'm the trade lady, I'm gonna be discussing a bunch of trades. Not sure if you'll like them though, but yeah. Anyway, so this next pick is not a surprise. I mean, one of my favorite books of the past few months is Greg Rucka and Matthew Southworth's Stumptown from Oni Press. And Stumptown's been a book that Rucka's been talking about for maybe two, three years now. And it's kind of his homage to the PI TV shows that he grew up watching, like Magnum PI.
Oh, my.
But personally, I was sick of him. Yeah, personally, I was sick of him just talking about it. I was like, God damn it, just write it already. But to be fair, he was wrapping up with Queen and Country, and you have all of the White Hat stuff. And if you haven't noticed, he's been doing a lot of DC stuff.
Yeah.
So the main character, wow, big surprise since it's a Greg Rucka book, is a female, like, private eye, of course. And she's kind of prototypical down-on-your-luck detective, just taking a job to make ends meet and help support her younger brother who has special needs. And she's a great detective, but she has a few vices, like all good great PIs do. And she has a little bit of a gambling problem. Well, it's not a problem if she wins, but if she doesn't, but she doesn't win very often.
Never.
She doesn't win very often. So the story kind of kicks off when the daughter of the manager of the local Indian-run casino disappears, and Dex Perios, our main character, has a pretty outstanding tab at the casino. So this is her chance to wipe the type clean if she can find her daughter. If you were to ask me what makes Greg Rucka a strong writer, in my opinion, is that everything that is that he leaves out of his stories is not that he's omitting, like, important information, or he's just, or not completely explaining what's going on. It's just he knows how much he has to tell the reader and how much he can let them discover on their own. And matching Rucka in his style, Southward's a great artist for the series. Like, if anyone had a, if has a chance to pick it up, you'd notice that it has a Sean Phillips kind of Michael Lark feel to it. It's natural, and it's understated style that kind of enhances it a bit, and it gives it a really solid sense of time and place thanks to the art. And it's been a little bit more, like, a lot of people have been comparing it to Criminal, but I'd say it's a little more, it has a little more wit to it. Not that Criminal's dumb or anything, but I mean, I like it, but there's a little twinge of, you know, humor and a little more conversation, and it's a little more snappier. So Criminal's darker, and even though they don't differ much artistically, since it's kind of a Sean Phillips mix, so I guess, you know, it I would recommend this. The name of the first arc, which really harkens back to the Rockford Files. I don't know if you guys have. Yeah. So,
you know,
it's called The Case of the Girl Who Took Her Shampoo but left her Mini, which is right out of 70s TZ. So if you're a fan of 70s PI or just hard-boiled detective books, Stumptown is a great read for you.
I was going to say, you're a big fan of that crime noir type stuff, aren't you? No, that's cool. I don't read a lot of it myself, I guess. Anybody else read Stumptown?
I read the first issue of Stumptown, and then I really liked it, and I always meant to get more of it, but my store stopped ordering, and I didn't get a chance to poke at him about it. So I now need to grab the trade at some point here soon, because I really liked what I read of it. And I've been kind of in the midst of a Craig Rucka thing again since I read his first issue of The Punisher, which between that and actually, oddball fact, Craig Rucka probably wrote some of the best Superman in recent history too.
Okay.
Seriously, he did. Okay. I actually liked it. I actually like his Superman stuff.
Is that the stuff he was doing with Ed Benz before the Infinite Crisis?
It does a little bit before that, actually. Yeah, he actually wrote some interesting Superman stuff mixed in with his.
I think that might have been around the time I was starting to get back into Superman. Maybe.
It was actually interesting, some of the stuff he did with it. He kind of played around with it a little bit more in a different direction than what a lot of other people were doing at the time. When I heard her say Greg Rucka, I went, oh my God, that's a very great timing considering the Punisher issue came out this week. So that's kind of awesome timing.
My first exposure with Greg Rucka was on Wolverine. Wasn't the greatest thing I ever read, but it wasn't bad either. I'm looking forward to Punisher number one. I have not read it yet. I know two of you have.
Yep.
You bastards.
It's an odd issue, though, if you really want to, if you get into the Craig Rucka's Punisher, but it's But yeah, there's. But yeah, that's all.
He's got to make a difference somehow. Let's talk about it. Yeah. I'm not picking it, but let's talk about it. He had to make a difference somehow. I mean, you can't copy Garth again. I mean, even Jason Aaron kind of took Garth's path with the Max version, but he still made that his own.
If he did the Punisher in a weirder way than a lot of people have ever really done the Punisher, instead of making the Punisher more of a straight up vigilante coming after people, they kind of did it in a way that's more. He kind of made the Punisher kind of a odd, like, shadow in the background sort of character, and you'll see when you read the issue, it's kind of weird. It's.
But I Dylan, if it's a story, it sounds like a storytelling device.
Yeah, like you might know from some interviews, he's said where he doesn't want to get into Frank too much and set up the world or whatever first, and like that first issue was really a lot of like detective work, and well, not detective work, but it follows these like cops, and you really just get glimpses of Frank from like their stories and perspectives and stuff, and it's an interesting light compared to the other books where it's just followed Frank on his escapades of violence.
Well, they keep retelling the same story. I mean, he's crazy. All that matters is the war. Okay, we get that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's twisted him up in different ways, but I don't know. To do something different like that, it makes me a little more excited for the book. I'm a huge Frank Castle fan, so.
It's only the first issue, so it's hard to tell how this will, you know, I mean, it'll be better in once he gets into the meat of things. It's certainly different, so I'm going to keep reading for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm in for the second issue because the artwork is also freaking beautiful. I mean, I love the art. The artwork on this is awesome, and it gives an extra depth of realism to it that you haven't really seen out of, like, I mean, that's what I've been loving about some of these number ones that Marvel's been doing with these relaunches of Daredevil and Punisher. It's like they have all very disparate different art styles, and that's what I've been enjoying about it.
Yeah, I agree with your statement there. I also wanted to say thank you, Wesley, to you in particular, for talking about the Iron Age on the last episode you guys were on, because I went and picked those episodes up, and those issues, not episodes. They're awesome. They're wicked reads. I very much enjoyed them, and I'm not a huge Tony Stark fan at all, so Dylan, you should be reading that, buddy.
I would if I had the budget, but sadly I did.
I understand your pain.
It's only 3 books right now. It's so good. And so was Daredevil number one. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I don't like Daredevil.
That was good.
Oh, Daredevil was awesome.
Yeah.
It had an odd kind of pop art sort of feel to it, and I kind of like it. I kind of liked how they played around the direction of it, and Wade's direction was what caught my eye on this one, because it was so different. I mean, it was one of the most unique ways of Daredevil I've seen in quite a while. It's like, he's having fun? Wow.
Yeah.
Daredevil's having fun?
This is my way with coping, is what he said. That's what I got out of it. I was like,
yeah. That's what
it... All right, and sure.
And I went, okay, you know what? Makes sense. It makes perfect sense to me that he's basically, you know what? I want to cope in my way of having fun.
Issue was fun, I thought.
Yeah. I was smiling the whole time.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see Matt smiling again. These last Bendis and Brubaker stuff is really good for what it is, but it's really nice to see the more superhero take back for once.
Yeah, and apparently he's joining the Avengers again. Or no.
Yeah. Which will be weird, I think, but I mean, who knows?
If
Bendis is handling it, so I'm sure. Well, it'll be interesting to see how Bendis takes Daredevil on after this change in style from what Bendis really started.
Yeah, it could be interesting to see. Okay. Well, I guess I'll pick my book, my one of the ones I got. I picked up Terminator RoboCop Kill Human. I was informed that they have done this before, this crossover, and it was much better. Apparently Frank Miller wrote it. I'm not sure, though. This one's written by Rob Williams, who seems to be everywhere nowadays, but I'm not a really big fan of what he's doing. I know he wrote a chapter in the Iron Age. He also wrote Ghost Rider, which I'm not sure about yet. Got to give it a few issues. But this book was cool. The art was P.J. Holden. I don't know. I just thought it was cool. You know, you get Terminator, RoboCop. RoboCop wakes up in the future, surrounded by Terminators. What else can you say?
Interesting.
I could read it to you guys if you want, but I mean, it was, I don't know. It's not over. It's obviously a miniseries. I enjoyed the piss out of it.
I'm going to take a second look at that myself then, because I couldn't find myself getting into the book when I take a quick flip through up in the store, and I couldn't find myself really getting into it, but I'll give it a second look. I mean, I'm more than happy to give it a second try and see what I think of it further, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a big fan of both properties, so. I mean, I seen RoboCop on Blu-ray, the complete trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think twice. I just picked it up. I was like, hey, we're buying this. It was good, except for movie 3. It's not good. But yeah, cool comic. It's from Dynamite. How much was it? It was $4. So maybe wait for a digital or something. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't good enough to... Jeez, I shouldn't say that, I guess. It was okay. I enjoyed the book a lot. I don't know. That's all I have to say. I'm not as eloquent as Yasmin when I'm talking about my comics. I'm just like, I like it. It's good. I wiped my bum. You should read it. So I guess, what do you guys... You guys are typing messages.
She asked the title of what about the comic was. And
I was asking the title.
I mumble a little bit, too. I'm really tired. Did I mention that?
Yep. It's understandable, dude.
Okay. Sorry, we were doing this late and all that, but it's kind of the only time I have this weekend.
No,
apparently,
fine.
I had some time yesterday totally or fine, tomorrow, man. But my sister got booted out of the house she just moved into 2 days ago. So I'm going to help her move. I'm like, great. Such is life.
You're so nice to your sister.
I have three of them, so yeah, I kind of have to be. Anyways, don't worry, I'll chop all that out of the show. Moving on. Back to Dylan, I guess. What you got all for right. us, big guy?
I was going to go with Daredevil, but we touched on that. Well, so, I will go with... Yeah, that's fine. I mean, we talked about it either way, so... recently, the past couple months, I've started getting into Grant Morrison's new X-Men run.
Ooh.
Trying to hunt down the Ultimate Collections. Nice. 1 and 2, I got... pretty easily that Amazon had them. 3 was sold out everywhere, but I lucked out on my trip to Syracuse this past week and found it at a Borders. It was 20% off because of the whole going out of business thing. So I picked that up and I read through it. So I've read the whole run at this point now. As you probably know if you listen to other episodes, I'm a big X-Men fan. This is probably one of my favorite runs to date. It's just so... Well, I mean... I'm sure we all know Grant. He has some crazy ideas and likes to tell a big story, pull off some reveals and all that good stuff that we like him for. So it's got all that in there. And this especially is cool because coming off of the X-Men movie, the whole idea was to kind of streamline it a bit and be able to make it accessible to people who haven't read X-Men for 20 years, which is a problem a lot of the time, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Gave them costumes more similar to the movie, kind of shrunk the ranks a bit and just kind of made it so that every arc was self-contained, but if you wanted to go back and get into the rest of it, you'd get some more payoff at the end. It's got some great art by a bunch of artists, like Frank Quietly starts off, and then we get into some whole group of different people by the end of it, as you know, we see a lot with Grant stuff, especially his
Skyver Batman drew a lot of those too, I believe.
It was Skyver. It was even by Seaver, and then there was Phil Jimenez at one point. Mark Silvestri.
Sorry, I said it wrong.
Sorry, dude. Sorry, my curse pronunciation junkie. So
no, that's cool. He's the guy who put the word sex into every issue he drew. Did you guys know that? Did you notice that, Dylan?
No, but it does kind of make sense now.
You go back and you look, brother. You'll find it.
Just randomly put sex everywhere.
Yeah, I remember when this was coming out. I bought the last two arcs, I think. The one with the Zorn reveal, and then the one, right up into where Jean dies, and then they go into the future and they do that thing with that kid from the Sentinel comic, Sean McKeever's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Comes tomorrow.
I think that was the last thing that Silvestri drew for Marvel, too. Am I wrong?
It was like one of the last things he did before he actually ended up doing that oh, bollocks, that stupid, that, all that, Messiah Complex. He did that Messiah Complex,
one shot.
Yeah, he did that. And he's also doing the, Jason Aaron, Hulk run that started up in October.
Yes.
So.
Good, good, nice plug. That's what I was going for in the end. Thank you.
No problem.
You beat me to the punch. This. Yeah, no, good book. I'll agree with that, Dylan. So what, it was just three trades, and you got the entire Grant Morrison run?
Well, the Ultimate Collection, so each trade is like 12 or 13 issues in it.
Holy crap.
So it collects run. All, yeah, collects all 40 or 50 of them.
What's the cover price?
Definitely worth the money. The cover price is $34.99 US, but I mean,
so yeah, Amazon, $29.99 in Canada yesterday.
Yeah, Amazon had them first two for $25, which is when I picked them up. And then, you know, if you can get them at a deal somewhere, you could probably get them closer to 25. So they're definitely worth the dough, if you ask me.
They
especially the last one has... that's right.
Yeah.
God, what a horrible system. Sorry, go ahead and finish, Dylan.
The last one especially has, like, his whole plot outline for the first, like, year of the story and what he was going to go for.
Ooh, like commentary.
Yeah, like, I think it's the Morrison Manifesto or something.
Cool.
And nice. Just like his outline.
Very cool. Okay, whose turn is it? I lost track. Is it Wesley?
Yeah, and I also want to comment on New X-Men. I actually, the one thought I always had with it, because a lot of his stuff was very oddly influenced by Chris Claremont, so I thought a lot of his stuff was like Chris Claremont on crack. I mean, that's almost like the best way to put a lot of Grant Morrison stuff, and it's absolutely beautiful that it is Chris Claremont on crack. I just had that comment percolating in my head during that entire conversation of, this runs like almost Chris Claremont on crack, and yet you loved every minute of it.
For some reason, that reminded me of Super Gods. The last chapter I read was all about drugs and comic books. It was kind of funny.
It's Grant Morrison. It's drugs and comic books.
He's right, though, man. He's well, but I don't know. You guys got to read the book. I don't want to try and off-quote it because it could be wrong, but
I've actually got
your favorite creators are big fans of hallucinogens.
Anybody who's ever read Grant Morrison's The Invisibles, you know Grant Morrison's a big fan of many upon many sorts of drugs. We're just saying, kids.
Oh, I believe that. And you got to be damaged if you don't think Alan Moore does drugs. I mean,
come on. God.
Yeah, really.
Look at that beard. Wow. I couldn't live with that silver all the time. It would drive me nuts. Okay.
I just couldn't help myself. When I heard you guys talk, I was like, going, I had to say something. Yeah. But, okay. This is going to be the oddest direction I'm ever going to probably take this show in a while, because it's the comic I did not expect myself to like. Just wait, brace yourself.
Wait,
it's okay.
Kevin Keller number one?
No.
I got that.
You got that?
Yeah, it was okay.
That doesn't seem like it'd be too bad. But no, it's Robert Kirkman, Rob Liefeld, The Infinite.
God. Really?
Finished.
Oh, yes.
Yes, The Infinite. The comic that I was expecting to come in kind of going, it's Rob Liefeld, I'm probably going to hate this to death, probably not going to like this because I'm not a fan of Rob Liefeld, but yet by the time the comic was over, I went to myself, oh God, I had a lot of fun with this comic.
No.
And it was fun. I mean, it's pretty, the story of it goes is you have a guy named Bowen who's fighting against this gentleman named Imperius who has managed to take over the world through time. But what ends up happening is just when you think he's basically the dude screwed, he pretty much ends up finding how Imperius used the time machine by basically grabbing the dude's time belt, going back in time and recruiting his younger self, Bo, to help him in his fight to stop Imperius before he even begins. So it's
confused.
It's a little weird, yes, but it's basically guy from future goes back to past, grabs younger self. Younger self is now basically fight from future. Dang, I'm getting myself confused to hell. But even trying to explain this.
Yeah,
but
so what? Isn't that a paradox?
It is a paradox. Future self grabbing younger self, and basically now they're back in the past, building up an armory to help defeat Imperius in the past. So basically, they're going back to where Imperius began his time to take over the world, so to speak. So basically, they're trying to stop him before he begins. Yeah, there you go. There you go. It's a little bit more clearer now.
Okay.
But
the whole thing made me think of a very bad masturbation joke. But okay. Yeah. I'll check it out.
Lord help us. But, okay, basically, it surprised me by how much I like this comic, because it's Rob Liefeld. I mean, big guns, pouches, lots of pouches.
Shoulder pads.
Oh, yes, there are some shoulder pads.
And no feet.
The future is very silver. The future is very, very silver.
Yeah. Very silver.
Yes, I'm using your comment, Yasmin, on that one, because I couldn't help it. I thought, I got to make mention of the silver future. But it's silver future, shoulder pads, pouches, big guns, stiff anatomy. It's all the Rob Liefeld horrible things that you have ever heard about Rob Liefeld. But yet, Lord help you, I ended up liking this darn comic because I had fun. I mean, it was one of the comics I went to myself and went, my Lord, I had fun. So I just went, my Lord, I just shut down and I just went, I had fun with this, because Kirkman is what makes this comic in a weird, because he is basically writing a odd 90s buddy cop movie. I mean, an odd 90s buddy cop futuristic movie mixed in with time travel and sci-fi madness, and it's fun. I mean, that's the only way you can look at it. It's a pretty darn fun comic. I was surprised at myself how much I like this. I'm going to keep saying this very much over, that I am surprised I found myself liking this.
Hmm. You're not the only one. A lot of people were gushing about it. They just came out last Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it's like people who are, like, a lot of people, like, I actually read reviews on, I was actually reading other reviews on this, and everyone was like, I'm not a big fan of Rob Liefeld, but yet I actually like this comic. And it's like one of those, everyone's in shock that they actually end up liking it. Because, and I'm just as surprised as anyone else, because, and but I give it to the power of Kirkman on this one, because he actually, this comic was tailor-made for Rob Liefeld's big gun, shoulder pads, pouches style artwork, and Lord help me, it works. I got nothing else on that one outside of, I still can't believe I like this comic.
Huh. Well, okay. Check out The Infinite, kids.
It breaks Wesley's brain, because he actually ended up liking it.
I could tell. You were very excited.
Brain broken still.
You're very excited. That's great.
Excitedly brain broken.
Rob Liefeld broke your brain. Not many people could say that.
Yeah, Rob Liefeld broke my brain.
And now we have an episode for the title. Thank you, Wes.
No problem. Right. It's better than Horse Rape.
I liked Horse Rape. We got a lot of hits for that, you know?
I had people. It's like, hey, kid, Rob Liefeld broke my brain. It's better than Horse Rape.
You guys are crazy. Yasmin, it's your turn, sister.
Yeah, well, this is kind of depressing because, well, my next title is The Unwritten by Mike Carey and drawn by Peter Gross, I think. It's a DC Vertigo title. Nice. So, anyways, The Unwritten is the story of Tom Taylor, the son of missing author Wilson Taylor, an author who's famous for writing a series of Harry Potter-esque kind of books. Starring a young magician named Tommy Taylor. So it's kind of based off of Tom Taylor, his son. So when his dad mysteriously disappears, Tom acts sort of like a C-list celebrity who he makes appearances at Comic Cons and charges people, even though he's never really done anything. But his life of like easy money and cheap fame is kind of thrown into confusion when he finds out that his entire existence is like a fraud. So he starts exploring the world of the fiction, you know, like books and classic literature, and he realizes that the boundaries between the real world and the world in books is actually kind of a lot thinner than anyone ever thought. So when you first look at this, the idea seems simple enough. You know, you have it kind of shows you what if Harry Potter was an actual person, and it kind of shows you, and like the simplicity is what allows the story to get a bit complicated the way it is. So Tommy's confusion over who or what he really is kind of the driving force of the story, which leads to like a different like exploration of books and novels that's sort of reminiscent of the way Neil Gaiman used The Sandman to explore dreams and tales. So if you asked me what I thought I liked less about this new comic, even though I really like it, I'd have to say it's kind of derivative elements. I mean, I find that the fantasy fiction building on, like, real stories, real based, like, phenoms like Harry Potter is a little bit tiring. And, like, if you pick this up, there are a lot of references to the classic, like, classic literature. And I don't think that a lot of people will be able to, you know, get to be able to understand it, you know. Not just understand it, but enjoy it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, they get it, but they won't be able to enjoy it because it's a lot of hard work. And there's, like, a lot of integration to, like, all of these classic literature references. They don't appeal as much as they do to some people, like, they do to others.
Right.
I mean, even though it's just, the book is solid proof of Carey's appreciation of literature and how he's trying to show us how authors, like, how worlds seem and stories seem real in the minds of those who are writing them. So I think this is Vertigo's best series since Fables, and it has the potential to be one of the most interesting comics since Sandman. So if you like those kind of books where you have to, like, think a lot and try and get all the different references, then I'm sure 100% you'll enjoy this. If you're not, then you still enjoy it, but it'll be a bit harder because you have to concentrate a lot on what's going on, and a lot is going on at the same time.
It's more of a mature read.
Yeah, and that's why I'd recommend, like, with all the, like, labyrinth-like storylines and weird interweaving subplots, I'd recommend for anyone who's planning to read this to read the trades, because it's a more richer experience than the individual monthly, like, comics, because he goes at a slow rate for everyone to be able to keep up with what's going on. So, yes.
Lots of info to process. I get that. At least with a trade, you get a small chunk. A bigger chunk than you would with an issue, right?
Yeah.
Help you to process it. I'm going to have to check that out. Wesley, you must read that.
It's really interesting.
I've actually read the first story arc of it. I lost track of it after that point, but I got the first story arc, and I liked it. I've been needing to actually pick up the trades again, because I find myself kind of going, I see it in the store going, you know what, I kind of want to catch back up with that at some point here, because I liked the first story arc. I just kind of lost track of it after a bit. But yeah, I liked the first story arc of it, and I've been needing to pick up the next, about three trades of it out, I do believe now, about three, and it's a really good read. So I back up Yasmin Tolley on this one. It's a really solid read. It's just, like I said, sometimes there's some stuff that I like, I just end up losing track of because I end up, for financial or just other stuff pops up, and I go, okay, something's going to end up getting moved over here for a few, the wait for trades or crap like that. So
very cool. Dylan, you read that? No. Didn't think you would. I don't know why. All right, I guess that makes it my turn. I'm going to pick an Image comic. Because I broke my vow never to buy another Image comic, but they seem to be making some good comics lately. I picked up The Red Wing by Hickman and Pitara.
Ah, yes.
Rachel Rosenberg. I like it. High concept, time travel. Goodness. I don't know how we're going to get all this into four issues, but I enjoyed it. I don't know. It's my cup of tea, very much so. It was easy to follow. What can I say? I don't know. Check it out. Anybody else read it?
I actually wanted to read it, but my store's copies got damaged, and I kind of haven't got a chance to sit down and read it yet, so I just kind of go. So yeah, I'm just sort of behind. That's like one of the comments I went, I really want to read this, and then like,
yeah.
No!
Yeah, I don't know. If you're a Hickman fan of any kind, I suggest it, because it is definitely high concept.
Oh, I've been... Yes, but the really... Hickman's been on a roll lately, so yeah, I mean...
I thought he was exclusive to Marvel. I don't know how... This must have been something he had in the works beforehand or something.
I think most of the creators at Marvel, if they all have, between Marvel and DC, all have some sort of like creator-owned loophole in their contracts. Like if it doesn't interfere with their Marvel work, they can kind of get a loophole to work on a creator-owned project. Say they're finished up with all their Marvel, all their commitments are going, okay, you got a Marvel commitment, okay, finish up. Okay, now you can work on a creator-owned. So right. Basically work on this in a spare time. So.
It's good. I don't know. I think, looking at the design of the first book, when this gets collected into a trade, it's going to be a pretty nice book.
It's probably going to be beautiful. I've seen the preview art, and it's going to be freaking beautiful. And I hope they do like a hardcover or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that first cover is awfully white. I don't like touching it. It's that white. I'm like, wow, it's pristine. It's hospital pristine. This puppy's sterile.
It's clean room.
Yeah. It's a very, clean very room. Good book. And I'm not sure exactly when this came out, but it was last month, July.
It was about 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. So, yeah. That's a Dynamite book and an Image book. I'm on a roll. I didn't pick any Marvel or DC this time.
Well done.
I don't think the only thing that impressed me this month from either company was Green Lantern. The Green Lantern War was over. And you guys don't read Green Lantern, so never mind. We're back to you, Dylan.
Well, speaking of DC, I'm going to go with the Flashpoint tie-in, Batman Night of Vengeance, which you might have mentioned before.
No! I'm kidding, dude.
I hope so.
I'm just going to take this Batman animated figure I got and wreck it in the corner. You go on.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting to talk about without spoiling it, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
But, pretty sure Earl spoiled it for me the last time we talked about this over on Nerds on the Rocks.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
Basically, this issue is this world's Batman going after this world's Joker, who... it's not a spoiler at this point. It was revealed like a month ago. The Batman was several months ago. The Batman is Thomas Wayne, Bruce's dad, and the Joker is Martha, the mother. And it basically chronicles Martha's kind of descent into madness after Bruce's death, and has some pretty touching moments towards the end with them, during their fight.
Is this appropriate touching?
Yes, appropriate touching.
Okay, I was just making sure. I think you've been hanging out with Earl too much, Dylan, that's all.
Oh, God. That is not right, man.
Always with the touching, these kids, I tell you. I don't know. But go on, yeah, no, that sounds cool.
I meant emotional touching.
Okay.
That doesn't sound better.
I get pretty emotional when I'm touching, too. Yeah, that doesn't sound better, dude. Change it up a little or something, I don't know.
You're not helping whatsoever.
I'm sorry.
Man.
Okay, everybody be quiet and let Dylan talk for a change.
Okay, to phrase it differently, it basically gets you to sympathize with these two kind of nuts, like crazy people who dress up in weird costumes and do all this crazy stuff in Gotham. And, it's got some pretty good art. The Batman's, like, thanks to the art and an older Batman, it kind of gives me an old Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns vibe, because he's old and kind of not as fast and more bulky as, you know, the regular Batman would be. Without spoiling the ending too much, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting when we get back into the new universe, how, like, you can look at certain events in a new light, I suppose. Well, depending on how Flashpoint ends, but it'll be interesting to see.
So this was the last issue of that little series?
Yeah, the three issues started in June, wrapped up this week, I believe. It was a fun little thing. I haven't read a whole lot of Flashpoint, but what I have read, this included, has been pretty sweet.
So... wait, who was the artist on that? Was it Jock?
It was Eduardo Risso.
Oh, Eduardo Risso, what do I know him from?
He did a little chunk. Sorry, Dylan, go for it, dude.
He did that other... yeah.
There you go.
My bad. And Scott Snyder, right?
Brian Mazzarella.
Damn it. Oh, so it's not... Oh, yeah, right. I knew this.
Snyder's on Project Superman.
That's what it is. I'm enjoying that book myself, kind of. The last issue was kind of a disappointment.
Yeah.
Compared to the first one. Whatever. So, Batman. There's our Batman plug. Thanks, Dylan. I love you, man. And Batman.
And that in that last issue was genuinely creepy. That ending, it was creepy, and it's like it was beyond creepy. Like the whole lead up to that was like it's in everything Dylan says, but yet it's also very creepy in how it gets to that last point, and you go, oh my god,
buy a Batman comic, damn you.
There's a specific page about halfway through when Martha's finally kind of lost it, that just... I literally kind of freaked out of it. So it was...
Yep.
It's a little disturbing.
Yep.
Wesley's all verklempt.
Yep. That was the page that I went, oh my god. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna be the oh my god guy of this bloody show now at this point, because I've said oh my god about 15 billion times at this point.
This is
point.
The most religious show I've ever heard in my life. And you've said oh my god more times than my entire sex career than I've ever heard it in my entire sex career.
If I tell the joke.
Well, yeah. Jesus Christ, man.
My career's not over, damn it. I'm still married. Come on. Anyway.
We go some weird places here.
Who's weird? Sorry, I had a couple beer. I gotta go to a block party and meet my neighbors that I've never met before.
Oh,
I'll make an impression.
That should be interesting. we had new neighbors move in, and I avoided going to their little party thing just because of awkwardness, which I later found out was a good idea.
They're weirdos,
aren't they? Well, I don't know. My brother just said it wasn't a good experience, really.
Yeah, that kind of stuff's awkward, but I mean, I'm living in a new neighborhood, and everybody here is kind of young-ish. I'm thinking they're around my age, maybe younger. And I think it's a good idea, because I'm going to live here.
Yeah, I like hiding up in my room with the blinds, though, so.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Last house I owned, though, I couldn't do anything like that. Like, I knew one neighbor out of the whole neighborhood, which is kind of sad. It was not a nice place to live.
I can imagine.
Vandalism. People breaking my fence, throwing apples at my freaking windows.
Wow. Anyways,
excuse me.
Wow.
What was that?
Damn kids, get off my lawn.
Yeah, pretty much, man. I got a beautiful didn't like that place.
Goddamn kids, get off my lawn!
Yeah. Felt like I was an old man on the back porch, slurping on a peach.
Get out my cane, I will beat the crap out of you bastard children. Get the hell off my lawn.
If I had a giant rubber band and a bow, I would shoot my cane at your face. Wesley, it's your turn, isn't it? Whose turn is it?
Yeah, it's Mike. Hey Dylan, did you read the fourth issue of Flashpoint this week?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because I was actually surprised by that, because I have no idea how... I'm going to be curious to see how in the world Flashpoint's going to end by this point, because issue 4 sets it up to a way that it's going to end in a way that's going to be very interesting, because I can kind of see threads of how in the world this relaunch is going to happen, and I'm going to be curious to see if I end up being proven right on a few things, because this is going to be one weird setup, because it's been weird for me seeing Grifter interacting with DC characters. It's been kind of funny for me having Grifter hanging out with the other DC characters in this alternate universe and mixed in with all this, and I'm going, man, how in the hell is this going to end? Because it's basically the Flashpoint's now leading to this big epic fight between pretty much everybody, giant freaking all out war now, and that's not a giant spoiler, because basically more like he kind of knew it was going to happen eventually anyway, but
there's a war going on when you first start reading it, isn't there?
Yeah, so it's awesome. And on a way, I'm very proud of Andy Kubert, because he's kept up, he's gotten all his issues done, there's been no delays, and it's been on time. I've been very proud of Kubert for this, because I was
embarrassed with the last Son of Krypton.
I think DC basically threatened him with his job if he didn't get this series out on time. I get a feeling, like, you get this out on time, or else we are all going to kick your ass. Mm. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. The whole reboot kind of hinges on that issue coming out on time, so I could imagine the stress there.
Or they gave him a lot of leeway, one of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd probably have to, I'd imagine.
I would say.
Because it's, I mean, it's in a, it's been interesting to see the Flashpoint, how it's been kind of picking up, steam and how it's been kind of going, because the tie-ins have been a mixed bag overall. This is going to be my pick's kind of an oddball mix of all these, because I've read all the tie-in issues of this week, and it's been kind of a mixed bag, because, like, I actually find it weird. Like, the one series I was, like, Batman Night of Vengeance, amazing. The Secret Seven, one of the most disappointing out of all the tie-ins for Flashpoint, for my honest opinion, because I was actually trying to explain this, and I was going, I don't know how to explain the Secret Seven. I don't know what happened exactly. Stuff happened. People died. Satana has an awful costume. More people died. Satana has an awful costume. More people died. Really, Satana has an awful, awful costume. More people died. And Shade's, like, somewhere, and I think that kind of might lead in the Justice League Dark. I don't know, but Satana has an awful costume and people died. I mean, I know somewhere out there someone's going to listen to this and go, why is he generalizing Secret Seven like this? You jerk. It's like going, no, I don't know what the hell happened.
That was your favorite book? Yeah, I read the first one of those and I was like, I don't even know what's going on.
And I was looking forward to it. I was actually, that was one of the ones I was looking forward to. And then it turned out to be one of the most disappointing out of all the miniseries. So, and I was still going, what the hell happened?
I missed Legion of Doom completely. I'm a little upset about that one.
Legion of Doom's actually been really good. That's been a surprise out of it. That second issue was amazing. And I can't wait to read the third issue of that, because the second issue was beautifully violent and horrible and awesome.
Oh, it sounds so good.
So yeah, those are sort of like the ones I kind of, some of the flash points I kind of want to touch on, because it was a very interesting week for, it's sort of been weird about Flashpoint. I've told people, I said, the stuff that I wasn't as looking forward to as much ended up being the stuff I liked, and the stuff that I was looking forward to ended up being the stuff that I absolutely just kind of went, what the hell was that? So, yeah,
that's how I feel when I read an Avatar comic, every time.
Oh yeah, that's a unique experience in itself. But that's like an hour long show in itself. So,
I don't know.
I mean, you're the one that legendary quoted horse rape out of an Avatar comic. So
hey, you had to read the book. It was
rape-alicious. You haven't actually explained to me what the horse rape actually meant, and I kind of went, the hell.
Yeah, the horse was doing the raping.
The horse was going, yeah, on the
other. Yeah, I remember that now. Okay, so are we back? We're back to Yasmin?
Yeah, well, I don't know. The thing is, I don't have a pick because I've been thinking that I'm really excited now that you keep bringing it up about the relaunch, because as a new reader, I tend to keep away from DC, the big DC and Marvel, because of the problems I face trying to go back and learn what happened before. So for someone like me, this sounds amazing. And I wanted to say this before, but Morrison's new X-Men that Dylan brought up, it sounds interesting to me, because this is the main reason why I stick to trades, because the story is so self-contained, you know, you don't have to go and learn what happened like a million years ago with this story arc or there or with this writer. And I can't keep up with that. And because of, you know, kind of regional restrictions, I don't get much. And for some reason, they've stopped selling DC completely here. I can't get any normal comics here anymore, except the trades that they sell like 5 months later after they come out.
Yeah, they're not very good with their trades. I know that.
Yeah.
That sucks.
and so I just wanted to say that I'm really excited for this because I think, and I don't understand why I was mad about this. Like, I didn't want everything I knew to change completely, but I'm still super excited for this because it gives me a chance to kind of slip into the newer stuff and get up to date with, like, everyone's on the same level, and I'll be on the same level with you two. Like,
oh, I hear what you're saying there. I kind of have the same problem. Sort of. I mean, stuff's still available to me, but I wait for it. Now with this new promotion and stuff, we don't really have to wait anymore, do we?
Nope.
Yeah, it's so, basically just made things user-friendly for everyone.
Yeah.
And the ultimate goal of the relaunch is going to be is if it even gets a fraction of people who have not ever touched a comic to read comics, then relaunch successful. I mean, that's still me the ultimate test if it gets new readers on board. So that's the ultimate test of the relaunch at this point, is how it goes for new readers and them taking a look at it. Because, I've been a proponent of the relaunch myself because I've been very hopeful, very excited to see how they're going to play this off. And like I said, if it gets a fraction, then awesome. We'll have a good time and have some new people on board. And hopefully that's what it does if it gets new people on board.
I think it's going to work well because I've met a few new people on Twitter, Google Plus, places like that, and they're all they're all interested in getting into comics. So I ask them a simple question: do you want to know about Superman or do you want to know about Spider-Man? They usually say Superman, and I'm like, excellent, man. Come September, everything starts over at number one. That's where you start, and most of them show genuine excitement for it, which is cool. I mean, I don't know. I looked at my list that I made for all the ads, and my DC pulls have tripled. Not cool. I don't know if I can afford that, but I'm going to try.
So. Yeah, it's going to be insane. The relaunch is going to be a fascinating thing to see how this is going to end, and how long we're going to be able to afford all this, for one thing. So that's the other test of the relaunch, is how in the heck am I going to afford all this? So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm buying them all 52.
Are you?
Already ordered them.
All. You guys are crazy. Earl did the same thing. He found some crazy deal on Amazon. I was like, I don't know about some of those books. But that's me. I'd like to play a little bit in every little universe as much as I can. But it's hard to keep up. You know, you start getting stuff confused, and things that you should know take you a while to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's the beer. I don't know.
Oh no, I have that problem with month-to-month stuff. I have to reread books a lot because
that was
I'm
the beauty, man.
Much.
When I was your age, if I could get more than like 3 or 4 issues in a row, I would reread those 3 or 4 issues in a row, like every week, voraciously, and be like, "Yes, I've got 4 in a row." Now I've got something like hundreds in a row, and
I've been in your shoes, dude.
That's such
I think
a
the
mess.
Most I've gotten in a row at this point is like 13, maybe even.
Me too. It's just like since they started selling them, so I have like, I don't know. I think the most I have is like 17 Batman titles. But anyways, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, for Iron Man, actually, I think it's like 15 or 16. But yeah, it's cool. Definitely getting them month to month now instead of whenever my brother buys them for me.
Yeah, because I've been in a situation where I've gotten like behind on more than a few series at once, and I go, oh crap, I got to make a point to catch up with all this, because I end up focusing on certain comics, read the month to month, and then in some books I end up getting lost in the shuffle because I end up going, oh, I need to get back to catching up with this, don't I? Because I'll end up having like 1 6-issue miniseries caught up, and I'm going, I'll just wait for the series to complete, and then I'll just blast out the issues in one reading swoop, so... So yeah, that's how I end up doing with my stuff if I end up getting behind on stuff, which happens more often than you think.
No,
are
I know
you guys
I hear
able
good.
To find like the issues you're missing? If like it's a month or it's a week ago or like a month ago, are you able to find the issues if you go back to the comic book store?
Mm-hmm. Or I'm lucky that at my store, it's pretty much, I can pretty much get them to go. If I miss something and I really want it bad enough, all I have to do is go, like, hey, Bob, I need you to go order me a comic. Hang on a minute. Like, yep, I can get it for you. Like, cool. And then he calls up the other store. If they have it over there, he just goes, be here tomorrow, Wes. Cool deal. See, and then he basically holds it in my file till next week. So
I guys like that, too. I'll check the other store. Yeah. Hold on. Like, good. Get on it, bitch.
Same here. Oh.
I never call him that. He handles my comics.
Yeah, I don't know. My comic guy, I've known him for years now, so I basically all I have to do is go, "Hey, Bob, order this for me?" Sure, no problem.
Yeah, that rapport helps with
the
comic.
I mean, show. I've got to the point where I can just kind of walk in and say, "Got some books to pick up," and then he turns around, hands me them, and I'm out of there.
Yeah, he knows who you are. That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, we like to end stuff on masturbation jokes usually.
Nah, we didn't, let's see, I've had Rob Liefeld break my brain, so that's going to end up being the title of the episode. That could be an awesome title, actually, because Rob Liefeld did break my brain, so.
Poor Wesley.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
That's a good title, too. Poor Wesley.
Poor Wesley. Actually, truth be told, Rob Liefeld has broken my brain with Youngblood Bloodsport, but in a fashion of.
Oh, you just broke mine. Oh.
Oh, you remember Youngblood
Bloodsport. My eyes, it's like lemon juice. Oh.
Oh, Bloodsport was awful. Oh my god, that comic was awful.
Right up there with Evangeline.
Oh,
I don't even know why I bought those. I was a horny 19-year-old kid, I guess.
That was the 90s. Just bear with it. It's the 90s.
Yeah.
I forgive anything from the 90s because that was a very special period of time in comics.
Yeah, there's good and there's bad, but I mean, I think every time of comics has its good and its bad, so.
Yeah. Seems though, whenever I buy stuff from the 90s, I always end up picking the wrong stuff.
Come talk to me and Wesley before you buy that crap, man. That's all you
Seriously, yeah. man, there's some pain fuel in that stuff, man. There are some pain fuel there.
Yeah, there is.
Sure is.
Like the Phalanx Covenant. I don't know. Anyway.
Maximum Carnage is what I'm thinking about.
Ooh, I liked Maximum Carnage. Little.
Maximum Carnage is fine. It's just plain
I got stuff. The paperback with all of it and read it in a couple hours and was it was an interesting day for sure.
All right, okay, well, thank you for listening, and once again, don't forget to check us out on Twitter at The Comic Anvil, or check out our Facebook page, The Comic Anvil. Give us a like. Don't be afraid to leave comments at Nerds on the Rocks, where you will find this fancy show. And on behalf of
Fancy Schmancy.
That's right.
We were missing the accent, and there it is.
Oh yeah, we needed a little. Yeah.
We need a little bit of a pop.
We needed some English. We need some English, Fancy Schmancy.
We needed just an English accent. Now it's going to a weirder accent.
Can't do it. Anyways, on behalf of Yasmin, Wesley, and Dylan, and myself, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time.
I think they're all.